AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. How we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Cut. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, the Cripescast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999 and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Oh, now, wait until you pull up to the stop and go light, but when you do, go ahead and save the Civic Media station to one of your presets. The Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens, and also on the Civic Media app. Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens, and I'll tell you what, it's more fun than tipping cows. And actually, you shouldn't really tip the cows, okay? They don't tip as easy as they think, and they might kick you in the... Never mind. Great to listen to while having a Liney's and grilling some Sheboygan brats. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media. And don't forget the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the Cripes Cast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, Saturdays and Sundays at noon on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
All right, who's ready to eat? We got brats for dinner, marshmallows for dessert.
Hey, folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had 5 or 6 beers and only one fish.
Oh my gosh, it's more fun than a big block of Colby or cheddar. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We can just play 3 headlines and a lie.
Fantastic.
Who could have thunk that?
Who could have predicted this?
Who would have seen that coming, and why didn't anyone warn them?
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the Tuesday, March 21st rendition of As Goes Wisconsin. It is officially 2 weeks until voting.
Yeah.
Early voting starts today.
Yes.
The election is April 4th. We got 2 weeks. Goes a lot faster than the fall elections do.
It sure does.
And so we are going to, in the 11:30, I have been asked no question more in the last week via email, via DMs, across social media, than can you please explain these questions on the ballot?
The referendum?
The referendum. So at 11:30, we are talking about the referendums. So if you have questions about that, you should come. You should stay.
Yes,
but also come back if you have to go do something right now. So
I just feel like they are intentionally worded.
Yeah.
It's the most complicated, confusing, and that's all by design.
Totally, it's by design. It's also for complex issues that you then, in one short question, you just have to say yes or no. It's not a great system.
No.
But we're going to get into that at 11:30. But to start today, when it comes to your retirement, if you are lucky enough to have a retirement fund, if you are lucky enough to have enough money that's invested and you have someone who's managing it for it, do you think the government should be dictating what your retirement fund manager can and cannot invest in?
The government is going to tell my investment broker what I can and cannot put my money in.
Yeah.
That seems problematic.
It also seems anti-conservative, right?
Yes.
It seems big government.
Yes.
So, 844-967-2789. Should the government be dictating retirement fund managers what they can and cannot invest in? I would say, and the free market would say, no, they should not. And so if you are in that bucket of people, because in my opinion, if you don't like what I know about financial advisors, my dad was a financial advisor. I know that it's probably more complex than my understanding of it, but you can leave. If you don't like the advice that you're getting or the investments that your person is telling you that you should be in, you can move your money.
Absolutely.
There is nothing that's binding you to this person if you don't like the advice that they're giving. And so this is, it's free will. And if you would like to work with someone as a financial advisor who is advising you to invest in companies that also align with your values, if they align so much as far as equity and climate change and not overpaying executives and all these different things, if you would like to put your money in those companies, then that is your risk, right? If you were choosing to invest in companies that may not yield you the highest returns, but you are okay with that trade-off because you would like to invest in companies that you align with your values, that is your choice. Right?
Yes. Isn't that right? Yes.
And so, again, do you think that the government should be dictating retirement fund managers on what they can and cannot invest in? 844-967-2789. Shoot us a text, give us a call, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. But I bring this up because President Biden has officially signed his first veto. Everybody has a first.
It's actually taken quite a while to get to this point.
Well, I mean, there was nothing passed in the first 2 years that he needed a veto. And when it was Democrat controlled in both chambers.
True.
I have a feeling he's going to use it more now. I think I saw Trump had 10 vetoes over the course of his time, which makes sense because in his first 2 years, it was also Republican controlled House and Senate. And then it was just the House in his last 2 years. So he had 10 vetoes over his 4 years. Do you know how many FDR had?
I have no idea.
And granted, he had 12 years. So he had four more years than even a two-term president. 372.
Wow.
You thought Evers was bad.
Wow. Boy, he didn't like anything.
No. So we are talking about, should the government be dictating retirement fund managers on what they can and cannot invest in? Because Biden checked and balanced Congress yesterday with his first veto of his presidency. And the bill, he nixed a bill that would have overturned a Labor Department's rule allowing retirement fund managers to consider environmental, social, and governance. So the new buzzword, ESG. Factors in their investment choices. So we talked to Christina, Representative Shelton, a couple weeks ago about how this ESG is potentially the new CRT.
Oh, okay.
As far as its wokeness and how we have to be aware of the liberal agenda that is ESG and how it's going to ruin everything. So the background on this, so why this fight? So ESG investments take into account social and environmental impacts, and investment choices are based on considerations like companies' carbon emissions and executive pay in addition to potential returns. And so those who are opposing ESG investing has become a much bigger cultural marker for Republicans as and so the anti-ESG bill was introduced by Republicans in the House. And GOP lawmakers want investment fund managers to focus exclusively on growing clients' retirement savings by maximizing returns rather than advancing what they see as
woke.
Yeah. Woke goals. God, I can't wait for that word to die. Oh, we've just bastardized that word so much. That's a whole other diatribe. But even House Speaker Kevin McCarthy accused Biden of promoting ESG to fund a far-left political agenda. Now, mind you, there is no mandate saying that anyone has to invest in these companies. This veto is just vetoing that saying that the mandate that retirement fund managers can't is now next. So Democrats say it's important that fund managers have the option to focus on ESG because they argue that the dichotomy between social goals and investment returns is a false dichotomy, since the former can influence the company's economic prospects over the long haul. Now, that is, the jury is still out on that. In a simple like Google search this morning, anything from Charles Schwab to Harvard Business Review to Reuters, like if you just Google, does ESG investments work? Something simple like that.
Yeah.
There's no conclusive data whatsoever on whether or not it's a good investment, meaning good as far as profitable. It's also, there's concern sometimes that are these companies actually doing good? Like it's a messy, nuanced
right.
thing. And like not all companies are built the same. But that's the whole point, is that this is what investing is. This is why you hire someone to be looking into these companies. And so my whole point is, why is the Conservative Party, again, the anti-big government party, trying to dictate what retirement fund managers can and cannot invest in?
They've just gone against so many core principles, the Republican Party, of what the Republican Party used to be, because they're not that anymore.
No, I know. I mean, it just seems like another, you know, virtue signaling into we're anti anything that could be woke. Like I saw a video yesterday of Candace Owens. This is kind of a tangent, so stick with me. Candace Owens on her show railing against your favorite person, Kim Kardashian.
Oh,
who her skin. I mean, and this is actually a good thing that she's done. And her line is done. Her line, Skims, has made an adaptive clothing line for people who are disabled. And so in one of their ads, they had a model wearing the adaptive clothing line for undergarments that was sitting in a wheelchair. And Candace Owens was just outraged that the inclusivity has gone too far, that Kim Kardashian's Skims is like showing anybody who happens to be in a wheelchair. And so it's just this, like anything that is inclusive whatsoever is bad. And so, but this is, so this goes back. So this veto for Biden goes back because during the Trump administration, the Labor Department moved to substantially limit ESG practices for 401k funds. But then the Biden administration reversed course and made a rule explicitly allowing fund managers to incorporate ESG principles into their investment strategy. So again, it's not a mandate that they have to. It's just allowing them to if they think that is a good investment. And so then Republican lawmakers in both chambers supported the bill that Biden just vetoed to reverse Biden's policy. And overwhelmingly, of course, party lines, Democrats overwhelmingly opposed it. Besides, can you guess the two Democratic senators who voted for it?
Oh, Sinema and Manchin.
Nope, close. Manchin's won.
Not Sinema. I'm drawing a blank.
John Tester.
From Montana?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, not Sinema. John Tester voted for it. And then the only Democrat in the House who voted for it was Jared Golden. But, I mean, I guess the veto didn't really come as a surprise to anyone. But now Republicans hope the passing of the bill through Congress lays the foundation for a court battle. So there's that. Anyways, we'll keep this rolling. If you have thoughts, should the government be dictating how you invest your money? 844-967-2789.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Are my babies coming home tomorrow? Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Babies coming home tomorrow. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news?
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And big show today.
Yes.
We'll get back to the topic at hand in just a minute. But at 1 p.m., supposedly, the funniest congressman that Wisconsin has. We'll have to see. We'll test it out.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
We'll test out if how funny Representative Mark Pocan actually is. We don't have a very funny topic.
No, we don't.
To kick around.
It's an important topic.
We're going to be talking about his Save Medicare bill that is trying to strengthen Medicare, but also would fine any private insurance company that uses Medicare in their... in the title of any of their products or their like offerings, namely Medicare Advantage,
yeah,
that is deceiving and tricking people into thinking that it's an extension of Medicare, and it is not.
No.
So we're going to talk to him about that. But who was it that told us that he's really funny?
I think it was Todd, wasn't it?
But Todd, I mean, maybe it was Greg.
That could have been too.
I don't know if Greg's met him. I think it's maybe his... I don't know. We'll find out.
That's what the word is.
The word is that he's very funny.
Many people are saying.
Many people are willing. We'll see how we can make him laugh just by telling him if he can blush or not. But that's coming up at 1. And so not a super ha-ha fun time topic, but we'll make it fun for the 1 o'clock hour.
I'm looking forward to talking to him.
Representative Mark Pocan. But then we are also, were you aware that WMC has a current lawsuit about Wisconsin spills law?
No. Wisconsin manufacturing?
Yeah. So the biggest, you know, business lobbying firm in Wisconsin has a lawsuit against the spills law, which is basically gives the state the ability to quickly respond to the release of hazardous substances and to hold polluters accountable for cleaning up toxic spills.
Oh, so we don't want polluters to be held accountable.
Yeah, not all of us, apparently.
Oh.
So Rob Lee, who is going to join us from the Midwest Environmental Advocates, who is going to explain more about what the lawsuit is, what the spills law is, and also, like, he can't comment on the Supreme Court race, but I think this is an example of something that could potentially end up in front of the Supreme Court.
Sure.
So to not lose sight, I know so much of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, I feel like the focus has been abortion, which is important. And second to that, redistricting maps, which is important. The 2024 election, which could end up back in the Wisconsin Supreme Court like it did in 2020.
Right.
So that is important. But also they hear a lot of cases that end up in front of them on our environment. So that is also important. So we're talking about that at noon. And in the next segment, when we come back from this next break, we're going to break down those pesky referenda questions on your ballot because early voting starts today.
Yes.
So you can now look at it and be like, I said some people, I saw some comments somewhere. It's like, I'm in law school and I didn't even understand how this is worded.
Gosh, that's awful.
So we were going to break it down as best we can in the next segment. But for now, we will wrap up our conversation around ESG, environmental, social, and governance, the new CRT, and how it's wokeifying everything, even your retirement fund, and how we have to stop it.
Now, ESG is not a company.
No, it's a practice.
It's a practice.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're tricking people. I'm assuming that money, you know, these brokers are tricking their, are they tricking their clients?
No, I mean,
are they lying to their clients?
I would, I mean, maybe some of them, the bad ones, but I mean, I think it comes down, and I don't know if someone's out there who's an actual financial advisor who can talk more about how these conversations typically go, and the arguments for and against advising your clients to look at a wider range of criteria beyond just, you know, not caring if they kill puppies as long as you get a high return. Because I think as we see what certain companies like Norfolk Southern, do you really want to support and buy shares of a company that is wildly profitable, but also not taking care of their workers and spilling hazardous material all over the state of Ohio and like giving you like pennies on the dollars to clean it up? And so it's like, ah, no, I'd rather not invest my money there. And I'd rather take the ding of like how much return you could get me and not like instead invest in companies that are doing good.
Right.
While also doing well. And so I just.
I'm just amazed by that. That they want to legislate that.
It just feels like an overreach.
Absolutely. But so is putting a politician in the middle of your doctor's appointment. I mean, there's all kinds of overreach going on. The party of small government doesn't exist anymore. That's a joke.
And I feel like I never hear good arguments for why. I feel like they never get taken to task on this. Of like, how can you also be part of the party of small government and support this? I always hear these as separate conversations of when it comes to spending, you know, at the state level when we talk about how much money is in Evers' proposal. Oh, big government spending so much money, blah, blah, blah. But then when they want to do stuff that's a total overreach as far as your privacy and your freedom of choice, whether it's your uterus or your retirement fund, there's no conversation and there's no accountability on, well, how do you justify that?
That's because they know better, Kristen. They know what's best for us. And they're going to shove it down our throats whether we want it or not.
I just have to share this quick story before we have to go to break, but I have to say it really fast because we have less than a minute. State Senator Jacques was on one of the Sunday shows, one of the state Sunday shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big man. I've never seen him in person, but he's like a very large man. And someone needs to tell his staffer to get him a better Zoom setup. Because it was like a side-by-side with him and the reporter. And his whole face was just taking up
the entire
screen. And I just, what you said, they know better. It was like him staring at me being like, I know better.
And they do.
All right, when we come back, we will talk about the referendum.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. An interest rate hike from the Federal Reserve today seemed like a given, but ABC's Daria Albinger says this announcement is now not a sure thing.
It had been considered a given that when the Fed adjourns today, it'll announce another interest rate hike as it tries to bring inflation to the 2% target rate. But that was before the failures of Silicon Valley and Signature Banks, the buyout of Credit Suisse, and the bailout of First Republic Bank. Now some economists are saying raising the benchmark rate any further may place too much stress on the financial system. Others are saying the central bank will still call for a 0.25% increase.
A grand jury in New York City reconvenes today. That group is weighing whether to bring an indictment indictment against former President Trump, stemming from payments allegedly made to adult actress Stormy Daniels in 2016. He says he's done nothing wrong. More than 400,000 students in Los Angeles will be out of school again Wednesday. District staff members are striking, demanding better pay. This is ABC News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Dear Hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And it is Tuesday, March 21st, which means early voting has begun.
Yes.
And this is one of those confusing things where most places, I think, have early voting, but you have to go in and look up your address to see if you have early voting. If you live in Madison, you do. If you live in Milwaukee, you do. But if you are unsure on whether or not your area, your town, has early voting, or if you know that there is early voting, you just don't know where to go, if you go to myvote.wi.gov.
Great website.
Great website. And literally you'll get on the first page. There is a gray bar across the top. If you go all the way to the right, there's a button that says vote absentee in person. You just have to put in your address, press search, and then all of the locations in your area that you are allowed to vote early at will pop up. Super easy. Yep. So that is voting absentee in person, which also means early voting in person. There's also, if you've received your absentee ballot,
Get that back.
Yeah, don't sit on that.
Don't sit on that. But if you've been sitting on it, because there's three questions on there.
That make no sense.
Like, what the hell does this mean? You're not alone. I was up at my parents' house this weekend, and before I left, my mom said, I need you to help me with these. And I swear to God, I've gotten so many DMs and requests for a video explaining what these mean. And, you know, we've had Jessa Nicholson on in the past, who's a criminal defense attorney in Dane County. She came on once in the fall and then once again in January, February?
I think so.
To talk about
cash bail
and the problems with cash bail. And I'm going to try to do it justice as far as how she's explained this. But now we have to back up for a second, because there may be more than three questions on your ballot, depending on where you live. So there could also be municipal initiatives in your area. There could be county initiatives in your area. I think Milwaukee has one on abortion again. And so sometimes there's countywide or even citywide advisory referenda that have no teeth.
Right. And it's so just it's a kind of taking of the temperature. Right?
Yeah, it's a taking of the temperature. It's a pop, you know, it's like it's showing popularity and support for a certain policy idea. Now, then there's also referenda like school board funding and the bunch like we've talked about that before, that there is some local municipal referenda that is binding
right.
when it comes to funding and right. stuff like that. So I'm not going to be able to, at least right now, if you ask me individually, I'll do what I can, or at least send you to the right resource to talk about through any of the questions that are on your ballot beyond these three that are on everybody's ballot. But at least on today's show, I'm not going to be able to
sure.
necessarily know off the top of my head what it means.
We have Dan from Appleton
oh.
on the line who wants to check in about this cash bail referendum. What do you want to say, Dan?
If you're talking to me, this is Joe from Appleton.
Oh, Joe, I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Joe. What do you want to say?
All right. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm usually commenting on the live stream, so it's nice to actually finally chat with you, too.
Oh, Joe! We know Joe. We love Joe's comments. Joe McClear?
That's right.
Nice to finally hear your voice.
Right. Well, a couple of full disclosure, I am a lawyer, so Jane, I do apologize for the language that you were complaining about and being hard to understand. Even law students don't even understand it. Most of these things are written by lawyers, and that's just what we do. I apologize. But I'm also a Democrat, and I have to say that I am splitting with many on the left, because I've actually already voted, and I voted yes on the bail amendments. I have some insight into this, and I could talk for a while, but feel free to cut me off whenever. 4 years ago, I was on the Legislative Council Study Committee on bail and pretrial release. There were a few state senators. Senator Wangard was on there. There was Jennifer Judge Doro, Jennifer Maxine White, State Public Defender Kelly Thompson, a couple of DAs. And we were there to try, we all pretty much had the same idea. How do we keep the violent offenders in jail awaiting trial while we release everybody else? Like the person who was caught selling weed but couldn't afford a $1,000 bond, we don't want them in jail. We want the ones who could harm their, you know, community or would not show up. We came up with a number of recommendations that, at least in my opinion, would have accomplished a lot of our goals and would have been pretty progressive in helping clean out the jails of the people who shouldn't be there and keeping the violent offenders in there. We put forth our recommendations to the legislature. The legislature promptly ignored it. Didn't go anywhere. A couple of years later, the Waukesha parade happens, and here we go again. We got some more interest into this. Now, the new amendments, they're not great. They may not be even good. The problem is our current situation is just untenable. It just doesn't work. What happens now is a judge can only look at one thing when setting bail. That would be, would this amount ensure that this person shows up for court? That's it.
Yep.
The reason I got involved in this 5 years ago, there was a situation in my area, and this is going to be a little tough to hear, but where a man sexually assaulted his estranged wife, was arrested, charged, and released on $10,000 bond. He then returns to his wife and murders her mm-hmm. before he kills himself. The judge was put through the ringer. It's like, how could you let this guy go on only $10,000? But the judge was just following the law. The man had never been arrested before. He had ties to the area, so there was no reason to think that anything else would have been necessary to keep him from to make sure he shows up. But they could not look at the fact that this person was going to be a danger to his family and to the community at large, and then tragedy struck. So these new amendments, again, they're not perfect. You could call them a half measure. They're going to do nothing to clean out the jails of the people that shouldn't be there, but they do give the judges more avenues at their disposal to make sure that violent offenders are not released quick and easy. So that's just my take on it.
No, Joe, I want to actually keep you because I have a follow-up question. We're talking to Joe McClear, who is a listener, but also a lawyer who's giving us his two cents and actually experience with cash bail and this current system in Wisconsin. But, you know, Joe, when we've had Jessa Nicholson on before, I don't know if you've ever caught one of her two interviews, she made it sound like there already is something in place that can hold people if they are a high enough threat that they can be held, but it just puts a higher burden on the prosecution to prove that ahead of trial. Is that true?
That is true. It is true. There is in the Constitution a way to hold folks without bail. The problem is it's logistically impossible the way it's written right now. Essentially, you have a very, very short amount of time to put forth what would be almost a mini trial to prove that this person needs to be held without bail. And I mean like within a week or two. I can't remember what it is after the arrest. And that could include getting forensic evidence back. That could include getting the witnesses ground up. And there's a hot, and it's a full trial. The full rules of evidence apply, so no hearsay. There isn't a single DA in the state that will ever try to hold somebody without bail under the current rules because while legally possible, it's logistically impossible to happen.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, it is good to know.
And I think the last question I just have, because I don't know what it's like in Appleton, but I know in Madison, in Milwaukee, the courts are super backlogged right now. And
sure.
The idea of both the constitutional rights of people being held in jail until their court date, so they're innocent until proven guilty, so we're holding X amount of people in jail until their trial that could be a long time from now, that is both expensive and just the detriment that it can cause to that person if they lose their job, they lose their car, they're not working. And so I guess, how do you counterbalance? Because if it's just up, like, what is the discretion up? Like, if this passes, because this is not an advisory referendum that, like the third bill that we'll get to and talk about in a second, where it's like, even if everyone votes yes, nothing changes. If this passes, this passes. And so what happens to the discretion of certain judges that's not going to end up, you know, tramping on people's constitutional rights to just be held in jail until their trial?
No, I know. And we don't, I mean, most folks, I think, regardless of your political stripes, would say, yeah, we don't want people held unnecessarily. There's no point in doing that. You're taking up too many resources. The jails are packed. And you're right, constitutional rights, you know, you want to make sure they, if they need to be out there to prepare their own defense, they'd be able to do that. And we don't want to hold people just because they can't afford a bail and just let those with resources have more rights. But, you know, and this is a situation where this is not a solution. It's a bit of a trade-off. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's what we result to. I mean, if I'm being biased here, I think the proposals we had 4 years ago were much better. I think right now, absent a more universal statewide look at, okay, how do we get the nonviolent offenders out? It's going to have to come down to the individual DAs working with local leaders, working with local judges, and working with the law enforcement agencies to determine, hey, look, we're not going to push for bail for things like selling weed. We're not going to push for bail for things like well, God, you can name any number of nonviolent offenses and say, well, okay, we're going to want all these people to be released on a signature bond. You can have conditions of release, but they're not going to be held for even a $100 bond because some folks, they cannot afford that. We want to reserve the jail space for people who we just look at the evidence and say, this person, the evidence is there that they probably committed the crime. We don't have, you know, we don't have the full trial yet. And if we let them go, they're going to be causing a dangerous community. As I said, not perfect.
Yeah.
It moves it one way, doesn't move it enough the other way. But I look at it right now and I see, okay, well, not doing anything right now, at least to me, is not the answer.
And this is my last question because we only got 2.5 minutes before we go to break. But Joe, is there not an option? Because federally, people can be held without bail, right? Isn't our state cash bail is different than like a federal crime? Am I correct in saying that? Mm-hmm. So we could,
sure.
We could possibly, like right now, how this came onto our ballot is in the legislature. They passed it for 2 sessions in a row. So now it's going to voters and it's skip in, which will not be able to be vetoed by the governor, but in a different,
right,
maybe more cordial environment, this could be legislation that actually gets debated and developed in the legislature. And if it's compromised, could be like actually signed and more thought out than just a yes or no referenda. And so that could be a different, right, avenue than this constitutional amendment.
Well, actually, now I'm thinking about it, not really.
Oh,
because
okay.
This is because without the constitutional amendment, the ability of the legislature to actually, even if we had more fair game in the legislature, it's a little more split and we had to have more debate, their ability to make changes without the amendments would be pretty difficult. I mean, I really would have preferred to see the amendment to just try to strip away language from the Constitution, instead of trying to add more, because that would give more leeway to the legislature to have more debate on these issues to say, okay, well, let's fill in the blanks down here. But without the ability to, I mean, the way the Constitution is written right now, I mean, they can't do anything about, you know, what can be done for bail. They can't do anything about what can be done for holding somebody without bail either. You got to go to the Constitution first, at least at the state level.
Okay.
Joe, I just want to applaud you for breaking down the legalese so brilliantly.
You did it way better than I was going to be able to do it.
That was great.
Well, I hope I got it right enough. And if there are any lawyers out there want to call in, please do.
All right. Well, if anyone has a follow-up, 844-967-2789. We'll keep the conversation rolling after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's 37 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madinair. And that was not planted.
No.
That was not a planted call.
No, it was not.
By Mr. Joe McClear. We're used to seeing his very smart comments on the Facebook live stream, but called in. And I thought it's a really interesting perspective.
It is.
You know, with the two, we're talking about the two constitutional amendments that are the first two questions on your ballot for statewide that are statewide referenda. There's a third question that we'll talk about in a second, but that one is less consequential because the third question that has to deal with welfare is a advisory initiative. And so
that really does nothing.
It has no teeth.
Right. It does nothing.
But the first two do. And, you know, I think we've only really gotten Jess's opinion on this before. Jess Nicholson, who's a criminal defense attorney, who's very anti-cash bail. I would say a lot of the more left-leaning organizations I see in Wisconsin are also saying vote no on those first two.
Right.
So it's interesting to hear Joe, who, as he said, he's a Democrat, he's worked on this issue, and admits that these are not perfect, but it is potentially a step in the right direction to try to address violent offenders who, while they're out on bail, commit another crime.
Right.
And I think he made a really good point as far as the domestic violence. And because I think I remember hearing about that case, because not only was there a $10,000 bail, but he also had a no contact, which obviously
those have no teeth.
Yes,
either.
Exactly. And so it's a hard question. I mean, this is like all these questions are hard. And, you know, I think this it also speaks to how much the distrust there is for so many people on the left, for anything that comes from the right, where it's like, oh, you guys push these things through, and it's easy to look at them as potential vote drivers to get people to turn out rather than actually in good faith of trying to fix the problem.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate Joe's call a lot in having more insight. I don't know if it's changed. I don't know if it will change my vote. I think I'm still gonna vote no on those first two, but at least it gives me more to think about, which is why I still have 2 weeks before I have to vote. But you can vote today because early voting did start today. And just as a reminder, kind of just the logistics of the Constitution. So the first two questions, and they are stupidly worded, but the first two do have teeth. So the first two are Constitution amendments, and basically this, if they pass, there'll be a change.
They'll be instituted.
There'll be a change to the Wisconsin Constitution. And I think there's been changed over 100 times, so it's definitely not unprecedented.
Sure.
But question one, I'm not even going to... Question one, conditions of the release before conviction. Shall Section 8(2) of Article 1 of the Constitution be amended to allow a court to impose on an accused person being released before convictions conditions that are designed to protect the community from serious harm. So basically, it's about the conditions of release before conviction. So you get arrested for something, and there is a gap between when you were arrested
and when you go to trial.
And what bail does is does not let you out. Well, high bail that you cannot pay, you because you don't have the resources to do it, does not let you out until you can pay that. And so after someone pays bail, should the judge be able to be allowed to put further restrictions or say the defendant needs to do something else? So that is question number one. Question number two, cash bail before conviction. Shall Section 8(2) of Article 1 of the Constitution be amended to allow a court to impose cash bail on a person accused of a violent crime based on the totality of circumstances, including the accused's previous convictions for a violent crime, the probability that the accused will fail to appear, the need to protect the community from serious harm and prevent witness intimidation and potential affirmative defenses. So number two is about cash bail before conviction.
And that's the one that Joe was talking about.
Yes. Should the judge be able to set bail as high as they want? And so we heard why Joe feels like this is an important step. Opponents of this basically say that this is potentially putting an undue burden on poor people.
Right.
And that by doing this, basically, it could violate rights of those who are innocent until proven guilty. And I think so often, you never think of yourself as someone who's potentially going to be charged. Like, you don't see yourself as you see yourself as looking at the person who is potentially a criminal versus a person who could be in that situation. It increases the cost for local jails, including rural areas. It increases racial disparity in the justice system, of which Wisconsin already has a terrible, terrible disparity.
Yes.
And it adversely impacts poor people, because there's a chance that if you were just as violent and just a threat as a poor person, but you have the resources to pay that bail, you can get out. And so I think it just is the cash part for me that I get hung up on. That there should be, I actually agree in having Joe, when Joe was saying as far as the discretion to just hold someone, but it's the time that it's this money piece that I feel like, if they can pay for it, then they either should be able to be held because there's some kind of decision. It shouldn't be whether or not they have enough money to pay. I think that's the part that trips me up. So
either way, Joe needs to hold a class for lawyers everywhere on how to write amendments that people can actually understand. Because when he explained it, that made sense.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way that they can write it like that, so we don't need an interpreter.
Yes. And so hopefully this cleared up a little bit. I guess we still have not gotten to the welfare question, but I'll say this very quickly. So basically the third question on your ballot is, should able-bodied people with no dependents be able to receive welfare without having looked for a job? And the truth is, in reality right now, anyone who fits that criteria, whether they're getting unemployment benefits, if you're getting unemployment, you have to be looking for a job.
Yep, four times a week.
And also if you're getting, like, the small fraction of people getting food benefits, I'm pretty sure also have to be looking for a job if you're on SNAP. And so this doesn't, first, it doesn't change anything because it's an advisory referendum. Second, we're already doing it.
Yeah. This is written and there to get their supporters out to vote.
This is to talk about those lazy people who aren't working because we have a labor shortage and someone needs to work at Perkins so I can get my food faster. So vote no on that one. I'm voting no on that one. All right. We'll break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, lawyer Rob Lee from the Midwest Environmental Advocates will be here to talk about the spills law and why WMC would like to get rid of it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Security is being ramped up in Lower Manhattan ahead of a possible indictment of former President Trump in connection to payments allegedly made to adult actress Stormy Daniels in 2016. ABC's Jacqueline Lee has more on what other politicians are saying.
The Constitution provides the right to peaceably assemble.